Welcome to the Ocean Hills Podcast. Our hope is that today's message would help you connect more deeply with God and with others. If you would like more information on what is happening in the Ocean Hills community, check out our website at oceanhills.org or download the Ocean Hills app. If you are encouraged by our ministry and would like to partner with us financially, you can give through your mobile device by texting Ocean Hills to 77977. We hope you enjoy this message.
It highlights, besides what's happening in Washington, D.C., and what's happening around our world, it also talks about what's happening in culture. There's a kind of end-of-the-year quiz to kind of help us review, look back. Do you remember what happened this year? And then what I love is that it goes into some of the cultural things of the Critics' Choice, the year's best TV. Critics' Choice, the best albums of 2023. The year's top 10 movies. The Critics' Choice of the best books, both fiction and nonfiction. And it's just kind of a fun end of the year edition where I love to kind of sit with a cup of coffee and kind of graze my way through this magazine and then maybe make, you know, okay, what books do I want to read? Or is there some TV shows or films that I missed that I'd like to jump into? But all of that to say that today what we're going to do is a spiritual practice called the examine. And the examine is a way of remembering, of reviewing the year, your year. And I'm not expecting you in this short time that we have to do that, but it's going to be like drinking out of a fire hose for about 20 minutes. And you have complete permission. We're going to have slides up here today if you want to take photos of the slides. The staff were all off this week, so we don't have notes or a cheat sheet or my sermon notes for you, although I'm happy to send them to you. If you want to email me, I'll forward them to you. But they will be up here on the screen if you want to take photos of some of the questions that we're going to look at today. But maybe I can start by also saying that as we're here at the end of 2023, I just want to give thanks to God for his faithfulness. So many of you have jumped into serving this year, and it's the invisible people that show up to help set up, that stay later after everybody's left to help take down, that say yes to be out on a Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday night to lead a small group, or to be out on a Thursday night to be awesome leaders of Summit 56. You guys right here in the front row. And there are people that you don't know, but that are helping move the mission of Jesus in this community and beyond forward. You see me and Casey and Jono, and you see the staff up here, but it's people that are sitting all around you that continue to make sacrifices, continue to say yes to serve, give of their time, continue to write checks, to give faithfully, to tithe, to say in faith, I'm going to step out and support the work of God in this community. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity. It is December 31st, so it's not too late. If you want to write a year-end check, you want to give, you can do that online. And if you don't know how to do that, come and talk to me, and I'll point you to Jono, and he'll point you to how to do that. I'm not the tech guy. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to jump in. Father, it's so great that we can call you Father, Daddy, Abba. Thank you that when we got up this morning, you were already awake, hoping that we would seek you, hoping that we would open our hearts to you, hoping that we might draw closer to you. And so here we are in church. This is a step of faith. Coming to church on December 31st to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I pray that you'd speak to me. I pray that I'd walk out of here encouraged and strengthened and comforted and maybe even redirected. I pray that you would give me a vision for what you want to do with my life, how you want me to grow and become more like you. And so in these next few minutes, Holy Spirit, I invite you to fall on us and fill us afresh and anew and empower us to live the kingdom life, the new life in 2024. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I'm going to do in the next few moments, I almost feel like it's more like a seminar than a sermon this morning. I'm going to give you two models of an exam, and I'm going to give you the one that I do personally, and then I'm going to give you the one that Pete Gregg does. Some of you know Pete Gregg. He's from the UK. He's the one who wrote the book, How to Hear God's Voice, How to Pray. He's part of the 24/7 prayer movement that's global. But I'm going to start with Luke chapter 2, verse 52. This is the one that I adopted really decades ago. It says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and people. And you just think about Jesus grew. I just want to say as the pastor of this church that I want you and me to have a growth mindset. Growing is important. Jesus grew. And he didn't just kind of grow up as a teenager and then into an adult physically, but it says that he grew in wisdom and stature, and he grew in favor with God and with people. And so that's the kind of the four-pronged outline or the four-step outline that I use in my life as I do an exam and at the end of the year, I look back on those four areas of my life. And so and I'm just going to walk you through the kind of thing that I do. Looking back on 2023, how did I grow in wisdom? How did I grow in wisdom? Proverbs chapter 3, you can read it on your own, but it talks about that wisdom is priceless. It's more valuable than gold, silver, rubies. Do whatever you can to get wisdom. And so the question is, how did you in 2023, it would be important for you to look back on your year. Now, when you get older like me, I can't remember back in March. So you know what I do? When I sit down with my cup of coffee, I have two things. I have a journal that I go back in my journal and I kind of graze through it and I begin to think about, what did I learn? Well, how was God speaking to me? Who were the people that God used in my life? And you can see here, what speakers did I follow or watch? What other pastors or sermons? What books did I read and which ones did I like? I took two books with me up to Camaldoli, the retreat center up in Big Sur for a silent retreat. Two books I was super excited about. And I couldn't get through 50 pages of either one of them. And I got over the guilt. I used to be a leader that went, I got to read every page of every book. And I had my wife say to me once, why? If you don't like the book, put it down and start another one. I'm like, you can't do that. It's like I feel like I'm being disloyal or unfaithful. She goes, of course you can do that. If after 50 pages, it hasn't got you, start a new one. So I actually left two books up at Camaldoli that if you want to give it a shot, I'll tell you the titles of those later. So, but what voices were the most influential in my life, in your life, in 2023? Was it your parents? Was it the Bible? Was it the Wall Street Journal? Was it a personality on one of the news channels? Who? And then what about financially?
Think about wisdom. How are you growing in wisdom financially? And what about in leadership? Or as a parent? How are you growing and learning and becoming a healthier person in wisdom? And then another, you know, there's a proverb that talks about, you know, wise people hang out with wise people and fools hang out with fools. You know, think about your friend group, your work group, people that you spend time with. Who did you surround yourself with? Foolish people or wise people? Are the people in your inner circle, are they helping you grow? Are they helping you develop? Are they helping you learn? And so looking back, and what I would just say to you is, I'm hoping either this afternoon or tomorrow, January 1 is for a lot of us kind of a dead day. If you could grab an hour or two and sit down and go over these questions and do this kind of examine in your life. I don't expect you to do it right now. But that's the first one is wisdom. The second is stature, which has to do with growing larger physically, stronger, healthier. And so, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are to honor God with our bodies. The context of that is sexually, but I want to say in all things physical. You know, what are the good habits as you look back? Do you have good habits physically? Whether it be sleep habits or exercise, or my sister's telling me, John, you got to hydrate more, you got to drink more water. What is it for you? In terms of your energy levels, are you paying attention? When do you have your best energy? Do you bring it to your workplace, to your family? Do they only get leftovers? This idea of your physical life and how you treat your body is a spiritual issue. And then you could flip it upside down and say, well, what about bad habits? Have I adopted or embraced or drifted or fallen into some bad habits, whether that be lack of sleep, too much junk food, too much alcohol, I'm not working out or moving my body or getting my steps in or whatever it is. I'm not swimming anymore. What is it for you? What about sickness? Maybe you look back on 2023 and you go, God, I feel like I was sick all year. Like I kept getting the flu or I kept, you know, paying attention. And what is it? And what can I learn from that? And then I have here, and this is more just for me, did I go after any mountains, marathons, or milestones? And think about that for yourself, you know. I'm one of these guys that I get motivated by having something that's a challenge physically in front of me. And so what about you? Sometimes that is what can kind of kick into gear training or getting fit and taking care of yourself physically. The third area is looking back on 2023 is how did I grow spiritually? How did I grow spiritually? I have a friend, some of you've heard me talk about him. His name's Steve Beck. He lives in San Diego. He texted me this morning and here was his question. He said, what was it that God was saying to you in 2023? And what are you going to do about it? That's what he texted me this morning. He goes, what was it that God, if you were to summarize, what was it that God was saying to you in 2023 and what are you going to do about it? How would you answer that question? Now, when I tell you what my initial response is, I know you're going to, some of you that know me, you're going to laugh, but, and then you're going to go, can I get an amen? We hope you do grow in that area is, the word, the kind of word for me that God's pressing into my heart that I need to grow in, see, I'm already laughing saying it, is empathy. You'd think a pastor would be full of empathy. This is a growth area for me. It's a growth area for me to become more caring and empathetic. And that's what God's been pressing into my heart. So I'm journaling, I'm talking to the people that I are my most important relationships about it. But what is it for you spiritually, looking back on 2023? How do you even measure spiritual growth? Do you feel closer to God? Do you feel like your relationship with him is more real and authentic? today than it was a year ago. I think they're not measurements, but what are the kind of practices that I embraced in 2023? And did they nurture a life-giving relationship with the living God? Or were they just, I checked the box, I had my quiet time, check, but I'm still full of anger. Well, maybe I need to embrace a different spiritual practice, right? But for you, you think about Jesus's life. He had outward practices. We know from reading the Gospels, he practiced coming to church or going to temple or the synagogue on a regular, gathering with the people. He did that regular, that was a spiritual practice that was outward. We also know that he had the outward practice of discipling or mentoring others. He had his 12 disciples, and he devoted his life to mentoring and discipling them. We know from his life that he was a person that served others, that lived beyond himself in empathy and care for others. Those were some outward. And then inwardly, he had some inward practices, whether it be prayer, whether it be reading scripture. We know when he was tempted in the desert, he was able to pull from his mind some scriptures to combat temptation. So we know that he was soaking in God's word. We know that he fasted. That was a spiritual practice. That develops self-control when we fast. Maybe you fasted from technology or food. There's a lot of things to fast from. So looking back in how did I grow spiritually? So it's kind of that wisdom, then healthier physically, spiritually. And then the last one, it says Jesus grew in favor with people. And that's relationally. Your relational life is your family, your friends, your teammates, your neighbors. I love this definition of friendship. I read it in a book several years ago. Real friends let you in. Maybe I could ask you, who are you letting in to your life? Who knows you? Like, you let them into the stuff that's real and really happening in your life. We know that Jesus had Peter, James, and John. He took them to the Garden of Gethsemane when he was just struggling and suffering and having doubts about his mission and wanting this cup to pass. Is there another way that we can accomplish the salvation of mankind? And his disciples, they got a peek into the real humanity of Jesus. And who are those people? Who are your Peter, James, and John? Who are you listening to with care? What memories did you make? Maybe road trips together. Maybe you have meaningful traditions that you kept or you created. How did you get off the beaten path together to grow closer emotionally, spiritually? How did I express my love, appreciation, care, support for those most important relationships? And how do I do that? How do you do that? Is it through texting or writing a handwritten note or giving a gift or calling and initiating friendship? And then the last one I have here is, what are the two or three relationships that I want to see grow closer, grow stronger in 2024? And then one other, and I get this from a guy named Henry Cloud. He's an author. He wrote a book called Necessary Endings. And this is kind of an awkward question, but it's worth reflecting on. Who do you need to fire from your life? Where is there maybe a relationship that's toxic, that's unhealthy, that's not safe? That maybe there's a necessary ending that needs to happen. It's good to reflect on those. Okay, so that's the examine that I do. Those are the four areas that I like to do. But then Pete Gregg has what he calls the four-step examine exercise. And here's just a couple quotes I'll grab just to remind us why we do this. You're, of course, familiar with Socrates, who said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." That's a pretty bold statement. The unexamined life What we're doing here is examining our lives. What I'm inviting you to do this afternoon or tomorrow is really look at your life, your marriage, your parenting, your priorities, your responsibilities, your role in your workplace, your spiritual life, all of these things. But then I love this quote from John Dewey. He put it this way: we don't learn from experience. We learn from reflecting on experience. There's a difference. We don't learn just by we went through something, experience, but it's when we pause and we reflect and we think about, what might I learn through that experience? And so this whole examine, it's like a 400, 500 year old spiritual practice from St. Ignatius. But so here's what Pete Gregg does. He has four words that he uses. I'll give you his now. The first one is remember. Remember. It's a biblical word. In the Hebrew and the Greek combined, it's used over 250 times in the Bible. Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12. I recall all that you have done, O Lord, the psalmist is writing. He says, I remember your wonderful deeds. I remember your wonderful deeds. I'm looking back from long ago. They're constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. And so what Pete Gregg does is he says, you know, he has these two things. He has a calendar and he has a journal. And he said, at the end of the year, I open my calendar, and at the end of the year, I go through my journal, and I'm remembering. I'm remembering the highs and the lows. I'm looking back in the last 12 months. What are the key things that I've done, things that I've learned? Do I have any regrets? What are the do-overs? If I could do it again, what are those things that happened in the last year? I would have done it differently. I would have handled that situation, that relationship, that crisis, that opportunity. Where has life disappointed me? What were the 2023 spiritual breakthroughs or mountaintops? What were the dark or darkest valleys of my 2023? And so remember is just, it's the whole year. There's not really categories. It's just like looking over the year and remembering. But also in that is God's faithfulness in that. God's hand, God's absence where you felt like, I didn't feel like he was with me. And just writing those down. Then his second word he uses is rejoice. Giving thanks for all the blessings of the year. Make a list. God is so faithful and kind. Psalm 103, verses 2, it says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death, crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. What a great exercise, practice. How did God fill my life with good things in 2023? Where did I experience his grace physically, relationally, financially, with family, emotionally? Maybe some healing took place. Where did you experience the grace of God? Where did you experience God filling your life with good things? Write those down. And then his third word is repent. Repent. Repent has to do with turning back towards God. You've wandered. You've turned away from him. You've pursued your own selfish ambition or gain. And so Pete Gregg says, he asks, is there an area of habitual sin or selfishness or broken behaviors in my life and identify those. What are the broken behaviors in my life that are tend to sabotage my growth, that catch up to me? And he has a whole list of things, but I wrote down lustful or lethargic, abrasive, angry, judgy, jealous, resentful, maybe checked out relationally. Why? Thinking about that. What's going on inside of me? Why did I tend to, that was my default in the way I treated others. What do I need to repent of? Lacking empathy. Any relationships that need repair as we get to the end of 2023. Maybe even as I say that, you're thinking of, ooh, probably need to call my dad. Ooh, my spouse and I, we need to reconnect. Ooh, whatever that is there a relationship that needs repair? So the question, where might I need to repent regarding my most important relationships? I'll let you define your most important relationships. But where might the Holy Spirit be saying, this is where you need to, you've lost your way. You need to turn back toward God and trust him and let him guide you. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Repent and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. And I love this next phrase, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. In that act of repentance, when we make that intentional choice to turn back toward God, to leave the sinful, selfish life behind, the scriptures say times of refreshing are going to come to you, where God's going to breathe new life into you, a fresh gust of wind into you. I love that. I want that. And so we ask God's forgiveness. We invite him to heal us and begin a new work in us as we turn towards him. And then here's Pete Gregg's fourth word. It's reboot. He says, after looking back, reviewing, rejoicing, repenting, now we look forward at 2024, the year to come, and we ask how I might become more like Jesus. And I love what his insight here. He says, this part is less on what you want to achieve. It's less about what you want to achieve, and it's more about who you want to become. I love that nuance. So when you think about looking ahead, the reboot, it's less about I want to accomplish or achieve these things. Like, what kind of a person? How do I want to grow and become a better teammate, employee, employer, daughter, husband, why, you know? And you write those down. I love what Paul says in Philippians 3. He says, there's this little phrase, forgetting what is behind. Remember that? Forgetting what, and what? I press on towards what is ahead. I look forward. I lean into. And this is the reboot. It's like, okay, 2023, man, this is we're moving into 2024 tomorrow. So what's behind? Let's learn from it. Let's reflect on it. Let's reflect on our experience, and then let's aim at becoming the person that Jesus dreams for you and me to become, more like him. So I'm going to stop, and I'm going to invite you to a time of testimony. There may be a few of you that want to share or respond to the question that my friend Steve asked me. What was God saying to you in 2023? How did you grow in 2023? And what are you going to do about it? Is there anybody that would like to reflect publicly to say, you know, I feel like God's been at work in my life this past year, maybe in your small group, maybe on one of the service teams, maybe at work, maybe it's through a friendship, a spiritual friendship, maybe it was through serving the poor. I don't know. Maybe it was through Lectio 365 and having morning daily devotions, going for prayer walks with other moms. Could be a whole lot of things, but anybody, I'm going to hold on to the mic, but I'm going to put it in front of whoever raises their hand. Stand up, please, and share with us your names, because people, not everybody knows you.
Okay, my name's Katie.
And go ahead.
Okay, I'm nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous.
Okay, so I'm basically a stay-at-home mom, but I also work 2 days a week, and I feel like I allow myself to listen to society's idea of being more, doing more, making more, moving, getting a bigger house, getting a yard, doing all this. I have a toddler. And I think the Holy Spirit and God have been telling me, like, it's okay. Slow down. You're enough. Being present with your son, the choices my husband and I have made to try to shape his character in his early years of life are the most important thing we can do, yet it doesn't feel like it sometimes. And I just start comparing myself to other people, and I don't know, it's just, it's hard, but I think I need to just slow down. Just slow down. And good sleep, healthy meals, exercising, and just being available all the time to my son and my family is good. That's good.
Hey, that was awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Mrs. Michelson.
The word for the year for me has been accompany. And I've had the privilege of doing it with my friends Kelly and Free. And Free this week is moving into permanent housing and is moving up into the San Ynez Valley. We will continue to accompany each other, but in a new way. And I just want to give praise for the sisterhood of spiritual friends and for the privilege of seeing such growth and such joy in Dear Free.
Thank you so much. Oh no, I miss you already, Free. Who's next? Yep.
My name is Chaz, and my anger at home. That's it.
All right. Love you, brother. Love you. Lynn Robinson.
Hey, I'm Lynn. So I work with the girls at Bethel House, and they've all, many of them been in prison, lived on the streets. All of them have, you know, certain drug and alcohol addictions. And, you know, we're going through the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And they're always just so thankful. They're like, thanks for coming. We just appreciate you, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know what? I appreciate them so much. I'm so nourished that they've just opened their hearts, that they're becoming, that their downfall is their gift. Like that they have a gift that they can reach other people at PATH, at other places. And they reach me every week they reach me. And I'm like, no guys, like God never brings two people together unless he has something for both of them. Mm. And for me, it's a surprising result of being of service.
That's awesome. Thank you. Wow. So good. Time for one more, and then we'll have the... Are we doing a song right there? Yeah, come on. Who's going to go last? Oh, fantastic.
I'm a little nervous too, but I feel like the Lord impressed well of tears on my heart this year. And I just wanted to read this verse from from 2 Corinthians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And just this idea of our tears are going to comfort someone else. And I just believe that. It's a promise from him.
God bless you. Amen. Yeah. I love it, man. We get to hear from Brian Yardley.
Yeah, I don't say much up here, but I really feel like God is. Do you mind if I do this real quick? Okay. I really feel like God is. I think He said to me, "It's time to grow up," and what that means for me right now is circumstantial growth. I feel like I've gotten to this point in my life where, if things are going, I've had some horrible things happen to me this year, and it's impacted my faith in a negative way, and then when good things happen, then my faith grows. And I think He's saying, "Grow up." That's not the faithful life. It's to figure out how to mature and grow in spite of the circumstances. Because if I'm letting my circumstances dictate, then it's such a selfish faith. Because horrible things are happening to everybody every day, and there's plenty of reason not to grow in faith because of that. So anyway, I want to say he's just saying, "Grow up, dude." So, all right.
So good.
Well, on that note, let's stand.